Our Old Testament lesson is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called on the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one person will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with hymn number 435. Gospel. The gospel comes to us from John chapter 4. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying that to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, You have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well to drink from himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we tell stories, we tend to stick to the script. And there are acceptable scripts and acceptable permutations. And then there are things that Hollywood would say need a script doctor. In fact, Hollywood has all of our acceptable scripts so down pat that there was a minor uproar in that creative universe when a scriptwriter's book, Save the Cat, became a bestseller. That book was a minute-by-minute telling of what you need to capture on film to have a chance of a successful movie. Save the Cat was about the hero's journey type of story. Think Indiana Jones. But there was another book, prosaically called Writing the Romantic Comedy, that does much the same thing for the rom-com. Of course, real life is messy. It typically doesn't conform to Hollywood scripts, but that doesn't stop us from attempting to make it. Even going so far as reality TV shows, like The Bachelor, that surround the characters with the plot and the devices of romance. Complete contrivance. But so desperate are we to live that story that real people will put aside reality. One of my favorite questions for those contemplating marriage is, how did you meet? Which form of script do I hear back? Has this potential couple negotiated a shared story yet? Or are they confident and secure enough to ditch the script? Now you might be asking, why is Pastor mumbling about The Bachelor and Hollywood scripts? What I want to suggest is that our gospel lesson, the Samaritan woman at the well, takes the outward form of a romantic comedy. John is using a love story to talk about the love story. First, the props in the story and what they recall. There are three scenes in the Old Testament that take place at a well. Abraham sends his servant back to Chaldea and to his people to find a bride for Isaac. Upon arrival, the servant who is leading a bunch of camels spots a well and strikes a deal with God. The girl I ask for a drink, and who gives it to me and waters the camels, that one is the bride. And Rebecca appears and does exactly that. Jacob is on the run from Esau and Isaac. First meets Rachel at probably exactly the same well, and in a moment of romantic comedy must prove his strength by rolling the stone off the well all by himself, foreshadowing the 14 years of labor to actually get Rachel's hand. And it's not limited to the patriarchs. Moses, on the run from his adoptive people, and after killing the Egyptian and his physical people who did not rally to him, meets Zipporah and her six sisters at a well in Midian. After saving them from some other shepherds, Jethro sees a diamond in the rough and gives him his daughter. Biblically, the patriarch or the prophet approaching a well leaves with a wife. But it isn't just the biblical background that I want to say says romance. According to Hollywood, there are seven beats, or seven necessary things to capture a romantic comedy. The first beat is the chemical equation setup. There has to be a conflict or a what is wrong with the status quo picture. Starting in verse 4, and he had to pass through Samaria. Near the field Jacob had given to Joseph was the well, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jew meets Samaritan. Capulet meets Montague. Land from Jacob to Joseph is divided. There's plenty of conflict to be had. The second beat is the cute meet, an inventive but credible contrivance that brings the two together. Well, stretching out by the side of the well, tired from his journey, he asks the woman, "Give me a drink." The third beat, a complication or a turning point. A new development raises the stakes and defines the protagonist's goals. If you knew the gift of God, and who it is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. The fourth beat is the hook, something that binds the two together irrevocably. "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. Where do you get that living water?" Jesus is no longer just the Jew, but "Sir." And the hook has been set. What is this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Give me this water. The fifth beat is the swivel. Stakes reach a high point as something jeopardizes the couple's chances of success. "Go, call your husband and come here." The sixth beat of that romantic comedy is the dark moment. The swivel yields disaster, and usually a humiliating scene as private things are revealed and the relationship lost. "I have no husband." "You are right, for you have had five, and the one you now have is not your husband." The seventh beat, the joyful defeat. A reconciliation that reaffirms the relationship and implies marriage. "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. I know that the Messiah is coming. He'll reveal us all these things. I am the one who speaks. It's a love story that talks about the greater love story. Jesus is not just a patriarch or a prophet. He is greater than Jacob. Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus is the one who is full of covenant faithfulness. He promised to his people rescue and release. He would crush the serpent's head, undoing Adam's failure as a husband. He would husband his people as he did in the desert. He would provide the living water, water which would flow from his riven side at another sixth hour, water supplied at another time of thirst. And that Samaritan is not just someone getting water in the middle of the day. This is the bride called from all nations, the bride found acceptable regardless of past history, because the bridegroom has chosen her. The bride which is given living water in the outpouring of the Spirit. The bride who worships in spirit and truth, her beloved. That's the greater love story. The marriage of Christ and the church. The bridegroom and the bride. So, when we see the story, how do we then live? Are there any core elements that we are encouraged to understand fully? Well, if I turn back to the turning point, the protagonist's goals were spelled out, and Jesus had two of them. If you knew the gift of God, and who is it and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. First, we should know and seek this gift of God, which is the living water. This living water is first the Holy Spirit, which comes to us through those waters of baptism. Those waters are not stagnant, not just plain water, but living and moving. And that Spirit is not something that we earn. The Spirit blows where and when it wills. But it is the gift of God to his bride. As Luther says in his catechism, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The gift of God is active and moving, moment by moment, in the life of the church, the bride. This living water is also the means of the Spirit, the Word and the sacraments. Luther's explanation of the third commandment, we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. God wants, is searching for a people that will worship him in spirit and truth, in word and sacrament, through his gifts. The second thing that we must keep before us is just who it is that gives us this living water. It's Jesus, true God and true man, born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Crucified, died, and was buried, and ascended to the right hand. And he's done this to redeem me, a lost and condemned creature, to purchase and win me from all sins, death, and the power of the devil. This Jesus is the bridegroom, the true husband, who loved his bride as himself, giving himself up for her and ruling at the right hand for her. we need to know that Jesus. The Jesus who is present in word and sacrament. The Jesus who is present wherever his body is gathered. It's a love story. And this is love. The last questions are eschatological, regarding the final fulfillment. The Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, the Jews in Jerusalem. And in many ways, our blindness continues. I can say we worship in spirit and truth through the Word and the sacraments, the means of the Spirit and the gifts of God, but there are many who would disagree. We still today have our arguments over how to worship. We still build sanctuaries that become idols. We still adorn them in our various ways. And we still argue over all these things. But John, in his other book, gives us a couple of glimpses of the not yet. First, a final meeting around the well. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters. Let us rejoice and exult, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Then the one who was seated on the throne said, "It is done. To the thirsty I give from the spring of the water of life without payment." And one of the angels said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. His light, by his light, the nations will walk. You are and will be the living temple. The Spirit that resides in you, now clothed in jars of clay, will on that day be fully known. Clothed in the immortal. The waters which can whimper now, on that day will roar. The days of drought will be at an end as the waters of life flow without price. And the bride will be with the bridegroom. It's a love story. It ends in a marriage. Amen.